content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you articles of interest from Money.com. Our first article, How to Make Everything You Buy Last Longer. This article by Andrea Ferrer. For most people, buying items built to last a lifetime feels increasingly out of reach. Fast fashion giants like Shein, Zara, and H&M have taken over the clothing market, providing an endless stream of $20 winter coats and $5 bathing suits to online shoppers. Quality, long-lasting furniture isn't as prevalent on Facebook Marketplace as it once was, and even the most basic IKEA couch now runs upwards of $700. And while the blenders, microwaves, and refrigerators in the average American kitchen are more energy efficient than ever, when these appliances break, they're hard, if not impossible, to repair. Rising prices have made the once popular mantra of buy once, cry once all but obsolete, as more people buying everyday items are forced to opt for the cheapest option available. Why would you spend half your paycheck on a Vitamix, after all, when you can buy a knockoff for $30? It's a vicious cycle that drains our time, demands endless research, and empties our wallets. But the solution is within reach. The fact is, there's a lot we can do to preserve and repair the stuff we already own, from our jeans to our leafy greens. Here's how. Learn some laundry skills. Modern washing habits are incredibly hard on clothes and can significantly shorten their lifespan. Clothes dryers, for one, cause synthetic fabrics like nylon, polyester, and elastane, materials that take up an increasingly share of our wardrobe, to melt and degrade when subject to heat. If you've ever purchased a pair of jeans that became wrinkly and saggy after just a few wears, the elastane in the denim and the hot dryer you threw it into are likely to blame. Washing machines aren't particularly gentle on fabric either, especially if you own a top-loading machine. The good news is, just a few small changes will go a long way towards preserving your clothes. First things first. If you have the space, start air drying on an outdoor clothesline. If you don't, you can grab a $30 drying rack from a big box store or a $10 renter-friendly retractable clothesline online and use that instead. If you use a top-loading washing machine, use a mesh laundry bag to protect delicate and stretchy fabrics from the center agitator inside. And no matter what type of machine you have, it's best to steer clear of fabric softener, which builds up on and eventually deteriorates clothes and other textiles. Towels, for instance, become waxy and less absorbent over time. The easiest way to extend the life of your clothing is to consider how you wash it, says Katrina Rodabon, author of Mending Matters, Stitch, Patch, and Repair Your Favorite Denim and More. Washing on cool water, using full loads, and air drying will prevent unnecessary aging. Clothing experts recommend a few other techniques to extend the lifespan of your garments. For starters, don't throw out your white clothes if they start to develop that dreaded yellow hue. With a bit of color theory magic, you can return the fabric to its original glory with bluing liquid, a concentrated dye that's been helping homemakers neutralize yellow-toned fabric since the 1800s. All you have to do is dilute a few drops in a cup of water and pour the solution into your washer during the rinse cycle. You should also learn how to treat stains properly, says Derek Guy, author of the Dye Workwear blog. An oil-based stain from salad dressing or pizza might require a stronger detergent and a longer soak time compared to a water-based stain like orange juice or sweat. Water temperatures also matter. Hot water can help remove oil or grease stains, but protein-based stains like things like egg yolks, dairy, or blood shouldn't be soaked in hot water. This will literally cook the stain into the fabric. Generally speaking, your best bet is to read the care labels on your clothes before you toss them in the wash. If you can wash the garment at home, do so with lukewarm water and the gentlest detergents you have on hand, moving on to a stronger product if necessary. If the tag says dry clean only, think about how much you'll be using that garment. Paying for a professional high-end dry cleaner doesn't make sense for every garment. A $20 t-shirt is probably not worth the hassle, but a beloved winter coat might be. If it holds sentimental value, if it's expensive, if you absolutely cannot risk getting it damaged, then send it to a professional, Guy says. Be sure to store your clothes properly, too. If you live in a place with cold winters and own a lot of wool garments as a result, Guy recommends staving off moths by wrapping wool clothes in a clean sheet made of 100% cotton and sealing them in a plastic tub when the season ends. Insects that eat wool fibers typically don't eat cotton fibers, he explains. And master the mend. Mending your own clothes can be intimidating. Boy, that would be for me. Especially if you've never so much as stitched a loose button onto a pair of old jeans. But there are lots of beginner-friendly techniques that with just a little practice can save your clothes from the landfill. A good way to start mending it is by identifying any weak seams in your clothes and making a few reinforcement stitches. All you need is a needle and thread and maybe a thimble if you feel clumsy. Patching is another great entryway into mending. Ideally, the patch should be of the same thickness, weight, and material as the original garment. A mid-weight woven fabric, like denim, which Rodabaugh calls a utilitarian fiber, is great for beginners, she says. You can take it a step further and try visible mending, a growing trend where menders of all skill levels make intentionally visible stitches, turning the repair into part of the garment's design. Visible mending can involve elaborate embroidery or just a few patches that cover a flaw with a piece of contrasting fabric. And maximum food, minimum waste. Our great-great-grandparents preserved their food by salt curing, canning, fermentation, and sand burials. Weird fact, an unwashed carrot can stay fresh for months if you bury it in the sand. Now we rely on an unassuming but revolutionary appliance called the refrigerator. Designed to keep food at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or lower, the fridge does most of the preserving for us. But you can extend the life of your groceries with a few simple hacks. First, make sure your fridge is running at the recommended 32 to 40 degrees and your freezer is set to 0 degrees or lower. Grab a couple of fridge freezer thermometers from your local hardware store to keep in each unit. They'll let you know if something is off. When storing fresh fruits and vegetables, wash them only if you're going to use them within the next 2 days. If not, it's best to store them in the refrigerator unwashed, since moisture accelerates wilt and rot. Here are some other ways to step up your food storage game. Store delicate leafy vegetables in a clear container or plastic bag, along with a few sheets of paper towels. The towel will prevent wilting by absorbing excess moisture, and the clear container ensures you won't lose sight of the ingredients. Bonus point, if you label the container with the date of the purchase, that may also help. Place cotton towels at the bottom of your fridge's crisper drawer and put your produce on top. The towels will absorb excess moisture and make cleanup a breeze. And invest in a vacuum sealer and repackage your food prep in an airtight bag. This will protect it from most factors that accelerate spoilage. Alternatively, check out the YouTube video by Kenja Lopez Alt, chef and author of The Food Lab, on how to create an airtight seal using a Ziploc bag and a tub of water. When the inevitable happens, i.e. your food spoils, save your scraps for the compost. If you have enough outside space and or a garden hungry for nutrients, go to the DIY route and compost food waste yourself. Otherwise, read up on the community composting programs in your area and how to get involved. And protect your most vulnerable items. Out of everything you own, your couch, mattress, and carpet typically see the most wear and tear. And though we've been trained to think that expensive designer furniture will outlast budget pieces, the reality is a bit more nuanced. The fact is, the longevity of home furnishings isn't always dependent on the design or the price tag, but how it's maintained. A budget brand couch that's well kept and protected can outlast an expensive one that takes a beating on the regular. And no matter how much money you've spent on furnishing your house, your best bet is to make these high traffic pieces last longer, and that should be your focus on protection. And carpet, to protect carpeted flooring, consider spraying it with a soil repellent finish. This treatment repels water and oil and keeps dirt and other contaminants from penetrating the fabric quickly. In theory, this should give you enough time to clean up a spill before it seeps into the material. The caveat, if the stain manages to set on the carpet, it'll be much harder to remove. And mattresses. Mattress maintenance is pretty straightforward. Rotate it 180 degrees, i.e., switch the position of the head and the foot of the bed every 3 to 6 months, and put a waterproof protector on it. Gone are the days of plasticky mattress protectors. There are plenty of comfortable fabric-like options on the market today that mimic the feel of soft sheets and still do a good job of safeguarding your mattress from spills, dust, and dirt. If it feels like your mattress is near the end of its life, try putting a latex or memory foam mattress topper on it. These typically cost a fraction of the price of a new mattress, and depending on the quality of the topper, can extend the life of your current mattress by several more years. And lastly, upholstered furniture. The lifespan of couch upholstery depends on the material. For instance, couches upholstered with synthetic fibers like polyester and microfiber resist stains, snags, and fading better than natural materials like linen or cotton. And if you're starting to feel the couch sagging, fixing it could be as simple as rotating the cushions. An easy way to protect the couch or sofa is by putting a protective cover made out of durable material like microfiber. Alternatively, you can use an old fitted sheet and put it over the couch when it's not in use. It may not be the most aesthetically pleasing solution, but it'll do the job, especially if you have small children or pets around the home. Like every other item on this list, today's home furnishings market is choked by subpar quality and rising price tags. Protecting and preserving what you already own isn't just resourceful, it builds resiliency and community. And our next article, also in Money.com, why you should still need to carry a wallet, even in a tap-to-pay world. This article by Julia Glum. A growing number of people have decided to leave the billfold behind. A recent study found that 5% of Gen Zers, as are people born between 1997 and 2012, don't carry a wallet anymore. The New York Times declared it's a trend last year. But is this a brilliant idea or a bad one? The truth is, the concept of a wallet has gone through modern-day transformations, and it can live in your back pocket, in your phone, or via an app. Melissa Potts with Intuitive says, these days are an easier way to access your money with modern technology. Indeed, digital wallets are everywhere. Shoppers who don't already use them likely will soon. According to a study earlier this year, two-thirds of the world's population will own a digital wallet by 2029. That's 5.6 billion people. Yes, that's with a B. Ditching a physical wallet certainly has its pros. Elaine King, a CFP board ambassador, admits she herself has done it by accident and realized the ability to travel light is nice. It's obviously convenient because you don't have to carry anything but your phone, she says. The fewer items you're juggling, the easier it is to keep hold of them, which can be useful, especially in places with pickpockets. Plus, where wallets are analog, phones are high-tech. Potts points out that most digital payment methods offer encryption and biometric protection like Face ID or fingerprint scans, which can make them harder to compromise than a lost wallet or stolen wallet with physical cards. They're also trackable and wipeable. From a financial hygiene perspective, using a phone as your wallet can help you keep track of what you're spending, so there are no surprises. You're already staring at your iNotifications, hoping to conjure Harry Styles' next album. So why not scroll through your transaction alerts while you're at it? This has the added benefit of helping you quickly identify and limit the scope of fraud. Alas, that's kind of where the perks end. King, the founder of the Family and Money Matters Institute, says there are a lot more disadvantages to the no-wallet strategy than advantages. One of the biggest threats? Not every retailer has embraced Apple or Google Pay. Although merchants are modernizing fast, just 57% of small businesses accepted digital wallets as of last year. On the other hand, 94% accepted physical cards. And even if a store does accept a digital wallet, there's no guarantees it'll work in a situation like a power outage, King says. Earlier this year, Spain and Portugal lost power to their trains, traffic lights, ATMs, and phones for several hours. If your phone loses service or even just dies in the course of everyday use, and you're not carrying cash, transactions could become awkward at best and impossible at worst. This isn't just a financial hurdle either. Folks often keep a host of personal documents in their wallets that can be hard to replicate. Many states offer mobile-friendly versions of residents' driver's license, but they may or may not be good for airport security and age verification at bars. Perhaps most crucially, walking around walletless could also drastically change your spending habits. The pain of paying tends to be higher when using cash and lower when using credit cards. The ease of tapping your phone takes the risk to a whole other level. A 2024 payments report found that digital wallet users, on average, spend 31% more than those using other payment methods. Young folks are particularly susceptible to temptation. Millennials spend 51% more, and Gen Zers spend 60% more when using digital wallets. When paying is as simple as tapping your phone, That frictionless experience can make it harder to pause and reflect, Potts says. Without the physical act of handing over cash or even pulling out a card, it's easier to feel disconnected from your spending and overspend without realizing it. Despite the growing adoption of digital wallets, there are drawbacks too. There are drawbacks to ditching your wallet entirely. Paring down, not totally abandoning the stuff you tote around, may be the way to go. Ultimately, the goal is to carry less but feel covered for whatever your day brings, Potts adds. And as we wrap up our episode today, this article is a very timely one for all of us just getting through the holidays. Need to exchange a gift? Here's every major retailer's holiday return policy. Whether it's an ill-fitting sweater or an already owned toy, even the most thoughtful gifts miss the mark sometimes. So after the holiday rush, thousands of shoppers inevitably find themselves making returns and exchanges. The good news is that many retailers extend their return policies beyond the typical 30-day window, giving you ample time to get a refund or swap out your unwanted presents. To help you keep track of all those deadlines, here are this year's holiday return policies for every major retailer. Starting with Amazon, most items purchased between November the 1st and December 31st are eligible for returns until January 31st, as long as they're in original or unused condition. Once Amazon receives and processes your return, which can take up to 30 days or more, your original payment method determines how long you'll have to wait to receive your refund. Getting the money back in the form of an Amazon gift card takes just a few hours, while debit cards can take up to 10 days. Note that Apple-branded products have a shorter return window. Items purchased between November the 1st and December the 31st can be returned through January 15th. And once this episode airs, we probably have missed that date. Other exceptions include Kindle books, digital textbooks, and songs. These can only be returned within 7 days of purchase. And Walmart, during the holiday season, Walmart customers have until January 31st to return most items purchased in store or online from October the 1st through December 31st. You can return gifts in store or by mail, though you need to repackage and label the box with a prepaid return label before scheduling pickup or dropping off the package at the post office. If you're buying from a third-party seller on Walmart.com, ask the seller whether they'll offer an extended returns policy. If the standard return policy applies, items bought from a marketplace seller have a 30-day return window, with the exception of major appliances, electronics, and luxury collectibles, all of which have narrower return time frames. And Best Buy, items bought between October 31 and December 31 can be returned through, again, we probably missed this one, January the 15th. You can return in-store or online purchases at any Best Buy store or ship them for free with a prepaid shipping label. Note that items with third-party contracts, such as cell phones, tablets, mobile hotspots, and Apple Care Plus plans, have a shorter return window. You can return these up to 14 days from the date of purchase. Artificial tree lights and other holiday decorations can be returned 15 days from the purchase date. Best Buy does charge a restocking fee of $45 on products that need activation. Think phones, tablets, and smartwatches, and 15% of the item's price on drones, digital cameras, projector screens, and other similar items. That is unless the item is unopened, and you bought it in Alabama, Colorado, Hawaii, Iowa, Mississippi, Ohio, Oklahoma, or South Carolina, or it meets a few other requirements. And Target. Target's extended holiday return policy applies to items purchased on November the 1st through December 24th. Starting December 26th, customers can return electronics, entertainment items, and Target Plus products, except for seasonal decor, until January 24th. Returns for Apple and Beats products have a much shorter window. Those were due by January the 8th. For other items, Target's regular return policy applies. You have 90 days to return gifts provided. These are unopened and in new condition. And Apple. For the holidays, Apple's return deadline was January the 8th. This cutoff applies exclusively to products purchased from Apple Store online and received between November 12th and December 25th. However, this extension doesn't apply to iPhones financed through a wireless carrier such as T-Mobile or Verizon. These are subject to Apple's standard 14-day policy. Note that some Apple products can't be returned, including software that's already been installed on a computer and Apple gift cards. And Macy's extended return holiday window gives you until January the 31st to return items bought from October 6th through December 31st. Items in the original condition and tags with tags can be returned in-store for free, but online returns have a $9.99 shipping fee unless you're a member of the Macy's Star Rewards program. And Sephora's holiday return policy applies to items bought between October 31st and December 30th. Any new or gently used item bought in store, online, or through Sephora's social media channels can be returned on or before January the 30th. Costco doesn't have an extended holiday return policy, but its standard return window still gives you plenty of time to return any unwanted gifts. Most products, including clothing, food, home goods, small appliances, and online purchases, can be returned at any time for a full refund. Some exceptions apply. For instance, returns for alcohol and cigarettes depend on state laws, and major appliances and electronics, including TVs, smartphones, computers, and smart watches, are subject to a strict 90-day window. And let's see. Lastly here, the Home Depot. The Home Depot standard return policy also applies to purchases made during the holidays, depending on the type of purchase. The return window does vary. Most new unopened items qualify for returns 90 days from the date of purchase. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Money Matters is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.